to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Carol. Deb and I are so excited to tell you about our new online program, Life Flip. What is Life Flip? Well, it's a methodology which examines your life experiences and builds on them to create the life you want, a life in complete alignment with your higher self. It's like flipping a house, using the foundation and good bones and creating something even more beautiful. Think of it as you 2.0. Some of you may be thinking, well, I have no idea what I want to do. I just know I don't want to be here. Well, Life Flip marries personal discovery work with business expertise, giving you the roadmap to go from where you are now to where you want to be. Whether you're just starting on this path or you're already on it and simply need some guidance, Life Flip can help you get there. To register, go to thedivinebreadcrumb.com, click the services tab, and click on Life Flip. You can do this, and it's not too late. Hello, everyone. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Okay, so have you ever been in a meeting where once it's over, you think, well, that was a waste of time? Or maybe you're in a leadership role where you were tasked with giving a talk on a certain topic and it fell flat, or you received unexpected pushback? Well, today's guest helps her high-level clients to address all kinds of challenges and gives them the tools to not only achieve personal mastery, but to create thriving, high-functioning teams. Today, we're joined by executive coach Alyssa Cohn. Alyssa was recently named the number one startup coach in the world at the 2019 Thinkers 50 Marshall Goldsmith Coaching Awards in London. She was also just named one of the top 30 global gurus for startups of 2020. Alyssa is also a guest lecturer at Harvard and Cornell universities, as well as the Naval War College. In addition, Alyssa is a regular contributor to both Forbes and Inc. magazines. And these are just some of Alyssa's accomplishments. Seriously, this is the tip of the iceberg. And aside from coaching, Alyssa runs workshops on a myriad of business-related topics and is a sought-after speaker. And on a personal note, I'm really excited to have Alyssa on because we have been friends since middle school, and I have watched her career skyrocket into the stratosphere. Alyssa has always been whip smart and hilarious, but she's also kind and present and all the things you'd want in a coach or a friend. So happy to have you here, Alyssa. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you both for having me. Carol, you moved me to tears with that beautiful introduction. I hope we can achieve the promise of that.
I'm sure we can. So before we dive into what you're doing now, let's get in our time machine and head back to maybe your 18-year-old self. And back then, I'm guessing coaching was not even a glint in your eye. But yeah. What was life for you at that time, and where did you see yourself heading at that time?
Well, okay, thank you for asking my 18-year-old self, but I actually want to go back to my 14-year-old self.
Oh, let's.
Right, okay. Because I was literally on a bus. We were going to camp or something with my friend Kim Berman, and the conversation turned to, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And there was this, like, discussion of what would you want to do for work where you would just be happy to do it, even if you didn't get paid? And I said immediately, have intense conversations.
Yeah,
that is the thing that I love doing the most in the world. And indeed, although I did not know what coaching was at the time, I have achieved my life's goal of having intense conversations for a living. That is what I do.
Yeah, you do.
yeah, I do. And what's funny is that not everybody wants that, right? So I'll talk to somebody intensely for an hour and they're like, done. But that, you know, I'm not done. That's okay. I got someone else to talk to. They can go back to their work. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you started coaching, and did you know you wanted to go more the executive route, or did you want kind of just those more intimate one-on-one conversations?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of the same. So, I mean, when I was 18, I, like everyone, you know, went to college and lost my way. And I was a journalism major, as I think, I'm sure you know. But like, then I went to business school with the idea of thinking about why do people either align with organizations or don't. And then I got all turned around in business school and I ended up at PwC, you know, as a strategy consultant in sort of the fast track to partner program. And I realized this is not it. So I had to really seek out like, what is it? And that's where I discovered coaching and executive coaching. And I mean, I think that all coaching is personal coaching, right? And So it's about how do you navigate in an organizational context, right? How do you navigate in a company? How do you help people find purpose and meaning in a company? How do you also fulfill the mission of the company? And then how do you kind of build community and connection inside of that company? All of that is systemic. It's also individual. It's about leaders. It's about followers. It's about culture. It's about all the things together. And that's what's so exciting and absorbing about the work that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as Carol mentioned in the intro, you're a well-respected and well-known coach throughout the world. And I'm sure there are many coaches out there that would love to know how you got to where you are now. So can you talk to us a little bit about how that transpired?
Yeah, I would say one foot in front of the other and like a lot of heavy lifting and, you know, sort of sticking with it. You know, the reason I became a coach is because when I was at PwC, which is a fantastic firm, I just realized this is not it for me. So I had to figure out what is it. And I met a coach. I met this amazing coach, Cheryl Richardson, who's still out there writing books. I still thank her because she was the one who turned me on to coaching. And so, you know, it's like I got coach training and then I worked in a startup. And so I kind of had all the tools to do, but literally I decided on a Friday, I'm going to become a coach now. And then on the Monday, it's like, what are you going to do? Right. So Now what do you do? And, you know, what I started was like, I did everything I could to get one individual client. And that included, actually, I remember I was still living in Brookline and I had started my coaching practice and I still was just coaching for free. This is super early days. So my gym was having this vendor fair of some sort and it was February. So it was, you know, like awful, miserable, cold, dark, sleeting snow and rain. And I had to go like photocopies, flyers, right, to go to my vendor fair. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. Like, I still didn't want to do it. And I was also like, it's like hard. You know, you're going to sit there and smile at people, have your little flyer. You got to go to FedEx and get it like copied. So I remember thinking, this is not about the flyer. And this is not about the vendor fair. This is about living your best life. I mean, I really legitimately, like genuinely thought that. Mm-hmm. And so I got myself out of my apartment, out of my condo. I got the flyers photocopied, and that's when I landed my first paying client that night. And so I think for me, it's a huge amount of tenacity, a huge amount of persistence. I have the gift of discipline, and I develop that gift every day. It's a skill, it's a strength, it's a discipline, it's a gift. Like, I really care a lot about kind of walking my talk, and I care a lot about sort of drive and doing what it takes. And because of that persistence, I know that I have been able to get far in my career because I don't give up.
Right.
But I would also say that I've, you know, really collected an incredible community around me. You know, Marshall Goldsmith's my mentor, and he's really shown me a lot about how do you sort of navigate in the world of coaching. You know, my best friend and close colleague, Dori Clark, she's incredible about, you know, really teaching me how to think about building your brand and adding value to people and building community and all of those things together, one foot in front of the other, exercised every day, I think help all of us be successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of people underrate persistence, and that really is the key.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the notion of try again. I mean, like, things don't work the first time. Actually, I'm taking this improv, freestyle hip hop improv, rap class. I can't believe it. And it's really hard. And I'm the one with the least background in there. And my, you know, little, I'm sure he's 26 year old teacher, who's amazing. He says, practice makes progress. And like the expectation in that class is that you're going to fail and screw up more often than you don't. And so it's really, for me, it's a relearning of that lesson of what it is to try again and to realize that you're not going to always be right, be good at this the first time.
Right, right. I love that you're pushing yourself out of that comfort zone. And it does kind of make me laugh that you're doing the rap thing. If you had only hung out with me a little bit more when we used to go to the Run DMC concerts.
I know. It's a shame. I know. It's like a whole part of my life I missed out on, I guess.
I know.
It's true.
I know.
So, it's so funny.
I love that you're doing that, though, and I can't wait to see pictures and video.
Yeah, me too.
And I just want to quickly jump in and say, and I think a lot of people are afraid to fail or afraid to suck at something. So they don't ever start because they don't want to suck at it. So they just don't do it at all.
That was me on a lot of things, and it's stuff that I regret. So I just love that you're doing this.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I remember early on when I was, when I became a coach, somebody said, first of all, people would say, what do you do? And I go, I'm a coach. I mean, that's like how I first started. Okay. And then one time someone said, well, what do you mean? What is that? And I gave an answer that was so ununderstandable and so impossible that he literally said sarcastically, well, that's a compelling answer. I mean, he literally said it to my face. And I was like, oh, I got to figure that out. Because other people are going to ask me, what do you mean by coaching? So I'm just saying, like, I have been there knowing that, like, that got screwed up. Like, I did that wrong, or that was terrible. And you have to be willing to do that and put yourself out of your comfort zone, which is why I try a lot to do that, because I don't want to ever lose that muscle.
Exactly. Well, and I love that you gave that example about describing coaching, because it is a hard thing to describe to people sometimes. But you have also, aside from all the other attributes, you have that charisma gene. And Deb and I were just talking about charisma. And I think, Deb, you had a question about that.
Yeah, you mentioned on your website that you, under your coaching section, that you, something about power, influence, and charisma.
Yeah.
And you note that charisma can be taught. And
yes.
I think a lot of us thought you kind of, you know, you got it or you don't. Can you talk a bit about why charisma is important and how is this something that people can learn?
Well, first of all, charisma is important because everything having to do with influencing other people and magnetically attracting them in some direction to do the thing you want to do, to help you build your community, people want to do, to, like, you know, get a thing done. Every tool that can attract people into that web is significant. And so charisma is one, it's not the only one, but it is one of them. And the notion of charisma, I just was very interesting. Charisma is actually a very charismatic word itself. Right? Like every time I say charisma, ooh, what's that? Oh, what do you mean? Right? So it's by itself an interesting word and an interesting concept. But what I've done a lot of reading about charisma, and I've tried a lot of tools myself. And I would say this to everybody. One tool, practical tool of charisma is visualizing. Like, you can close your eyes and think about this. Think about the person that you love a lot, you feel confident around, you feel safe around, that you think is fantastic, like maybe even an old camp friend. Like, you picture an old camp friend and you're so excited to go see this old camp friend. You always have this great connection with this person and this lovely feeling when you look forward to seeing her. And then after you think about the visit after. And if you kind of really visualize that in your mind's eye, and then you go say hi to somebody or go meet a new person, you will come across as incredibly charismatic, because right there you are exhibiting warmth and confidence.
What a great tool. Yes.
Yeah, try it.
All right, now I'm going to.
You should.
I'm having memories of us in drama on the sidelines waiting for our scene. And I was always very excited to our little group to see our little group. It was very fun because I didn't do camp. So that's about as close as I can get to that.
Right. Well, there you go. You can think about John Augusto.
Yes. Oh my gosh. All right. So a little bit different subject, but aside from being named the number one startup coach and top 30 global guru, you were also named one of the top 100 leadership speakers by Inc. magazine. You know, these are all massively impressive achievements. What do these achievements mean to you personally?
Well, mostly they mean that the more prominent I get, the more people I can touch. The more prominent I get, the more people will listen to me and believe that I have credibility.
Right.
And that's powerful because I know that I have something to say that really, really contributes. It contributes to the life of founders and CEOs of startups, and also really just to people who, to your point earlier, don't want to try and don't want to fail and don't want to push themselves. And so, you know, these accolades are extremely rewarding for me, of course, and I am so gratified by them. Again, I also know I worked, nothing was handed to me. Like, I know I worked for every single thing that I've gotten and made sacrifices to get, you know, to really be, to be out there. And they lead every day to my mission, which is to make a difference for people.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. But my mentor, Marshall Goldsmith, he's constantly saying to me, I mean, this is just such, so much pressure. Get more famous. I'm doing my best, Marshall. I'm doing my best. You know, but basically that's his point. Get more famous and you will constantly be able to magnify and amplify the difference that you can make. And he's right.
Absolutely true.
Exactly.
So switching gears just a little bit, talk to us a little bit about coach founders. What does this mean?
That I, when I coach founders, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when I coach founders of companies, right? So I coach startups quite a bit, as you can imagine. And the idea of coaching in a startup is actually quite different from coaching in a larger company. Certainly coaching founders, founder CEOs, co-founders is just a whole different animal than coaching other executives. It's very, you know, founders are, they, this is their baby. You're founding something, you're starting something from scratch. It's very personal for them.
Yeah.
And also they're often having, they've done it for the first time. They're doing it for the first time. So these are all the things you have to take into account when you coach founders.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me because just starting new things relatively late in life, it's hard. You know, you're trying to create something, like you said, it's your baby. And anytime someone gives criticism, it's like someone's telling you your baby's ugly and you don't want to accept it. But, you know, on a smaller scale, I can definitely see where people are going to have, I guess, what's the word? Just have trouble sometimes receiving the feedback.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody does. But, you know, for them, again, it's personal. And also, they don't always know what to do. I mean, there's a reason, you know, that, I mean, founders are tend to be new leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, that's a whole nother thing if you've never been in a leadership role.
Yeah. You've never really had a significant leadership role and you're the CEO of a company. So your role is that much more magnified and you're really under surveillance all the time, but you really don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. And it doesn't come naturally for everyone.
Yeah, it comes naturally. It does not come naturally to most people.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, it is, I mean, and by the way, if you think about it, leadership and management is an unnatural act in many ways, right? You have to be constantly sort of not taking things personally when normally we take things personally. You have to be constantly telling other adults what you think they should do. We don't tend to do that in the real world.
Right. Very good point.
You know, there's a lot of things about leadership. And then also you're, on the one hand, you're trying to be friends with your direct reports, friendly, rapport, psychological safety, good communication. On the other hand, you can't treat them like a friend. You're their manager.
Right.
So it's very confusing.
It is. I've been there. Yes. And especially if you've been a peer and now you're the manager.
Yeah, that's one of the most complicated transitions.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, what have you learned about that?
So for me, I really had to kind of find my way because I didn't have someone to, I didn't have a mentor who really had experienced that. You know, it was all kind of, yeah, it can be tough, you'll get through it, that type of thing. And so, yeah, I made the mistake of, because actually the people who were now my direct reports had actually also been my friends. We were peers right. and friends. And so the good thing with that is we had worked together for many years and I knew their work ethic, they knew mine, and they were just really good at what they needed to do. And I didn't have to manage so much. So I got off very easy. But what ended up happening is then because it was a brand new team, so I had kind of cherry picked who I wanted on the team. And then other people were brought on and suddenly I had these personalities that I was not familiar with. What I did with the two women that I knew didn't necessarily quote unquote work with these new people. So I had to learn that, you know, your management style has to be a little bit fluid and not everybody receives things the same way. And it was messy for a few months. Yeah. It was messy. But luckily after a few months, they actually, all of them got together and had nominated me for a rising star in management in the company.
Oh, how nice.
So it was, well, it was validation that, okay, some of my work has paid off.
Yeah. Well, that's great that you were able to figure it out for yourself, but notice how hard it is to figure out for yourself. And most people really have to.
Right. Yeah. So that's where you come in.
And I come from a background before I left traditional employment of having worked for a few different startups, which I love the energy of a startup because there's sort of no defined roles.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also chaos.
Definitely.
So if the person that's sort of in charge doesn't know what they're doing, and of the three startups I've worked for, only one of them survived. So there you go. And that was likely, you know, management issues primarily.
Yeah, complicated.
So, but it is, it's challenging.
Yeah. And for founders, it's even more challenging because they definitely don't have, you know, that kind of the experience. They often don't have mentors like that right. to teach them, and they don't have a boss to teach them. And they're a certain kind of person. When you're a founder, you went to the trouble of finding a company, you're not necessarily going to have a sort of a wallflower personality.
Right.
But it also doesn't mean that you're a good manager.
Yeah.
No, I mean, again, as we said, most people are right. not good managers.
Right.
Yeah. So you have these learned behavior. So there's a lot of complicated dynamics when it comes to startups. That's the point.
Yeah. And you must have seen it all at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I should say so.
But honestly, I can't think of a better person to be in this situation because you can use your humor and experience to kind of, I bet that helps to smooth things over at times.
Yeah. And then also I think what I'm really known for is straight talk.
Yeah, true. Yeah. No BS about you.
Yeah. So being direct, I think, is very helpful, but hopefully in a way that people can hear.
Exactly. Exactly. So Alyssa, one of the things I wanted to talk about, because I just found this, I just love that you're doing this. So, you know, the drama club was important to us when we were in high school.
Yes.
And I love that you're now an investor in Broadway shows. So I was wondering, how did that come about?
So first of all, I was an angel investor already. And then my buddy Dory, just like with every, like a lot of things with Dory, she's like, you know what we should do? I'm like, no, what should we do? We should invest in Broadway shows. Yeah, we totally should do that. That's exactly what we should do. How come I didn't think of that? Yes, that's what we're going to do. So that's what we started doing. And so what's interesting, we just did a free webinar on this to help people think about how they can also invest in Broadway shows if they want to. So, you know, like everything, we started with our network. Like, who do we know in the world who knows something about Broadway and knows something about investing in shows? And we began to put together, you know, again, a community and a network of people who did. And we just began to ask them questions about how do you do this? And we learned a lot from them. And we went through different budgets. And, you know, but people were very kind and showed us how to think about budgets and how to think about the different shows and how to analyze. And that was, like, really interesting. And then we began to, you know, get offered deals. So people understand that you really want to invest and you have your checkbook out. So then the first show we invested in was Tootsie the Musical. And then because we invested in Tootsie the Musical, the person there who was sort of coordinating for us, she was also coordinating with Lifespan of a Fact, which is going to be a very hot show with Daniel Radcliffe. And so I said to her, hey, if you have room in that, we'd love to be part of that. And she said, oh, no, I'm sure I won't. We don't have. Okay, fine. Just call me if you do. Well, wouldn't you know, 3 weeks later, she called me and said, one of my investors flaked out. If you want a spot in Lifespan of a Fact, you can, you know, like, let me know. And I'm like, we totally want that. So we, our very first show that opened up, our very first show that opened on Broadway was Lifespan of a Fact with Daniel Radcliffe, Cherry Jones, and Bobby Cannavale. And it did incredibly well. And we had a great time just like, again, like building the community and learning who was who. We met a lot of people at the opening night party. And it just culminated in December. Joey and I hosted a brunch for 12 producers that we knew. And we could have, we had 5 or 10 that we also did, we didn't even invite. Like that's how many people now we know, the producers in the space. And like, we're really like building our community here. And it's only been about a year and a half. So as like, as with everything, you put one foot in front of the other.
Right. Well, I think it's just so exciting. And I've always been a huge Bobby Cannavale fan. Deb has heard me. Yeah, I know. Who's not? Exactly.
Who's not? Yeah.
Yeah. So exciting. And I just love how that kind of came full circle.
Yeah.
Picture us on, you know, on the stage, and it I just love it. And I knew, you know, theater was always so important to you. So
yeah.
And you probably saw more shows than anyone I knew even back then. So.
Oh, really? That's so funny. My parents took us to shows a lot. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, it's just exciting to see. So this has been so fun catching up with you and
I know
learning about what you're doing. And Deb and I are hoping at some point we'll get back to New York. I would love to see you in person and chat.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
That would be really fun.
Where can people find you online if they want more information?
Well, people can always come to my website, which is alissacohn.com, AlissaCohn, no E's in any of my names. Follow me on Twitter, at Alyssa Cohn. LinkedIn with me, Alyssa Cohn.
Yeah.
You're seeing a pattern here. You can follow my sporadic Instagram. Same thing. I'm at Alyssa Cohn everywhere you slice it.
Awesome. We will put all of that in our show notes too so that people can access it quickly.
Yeah. Awesome. Great. And I'd love to hear back from you too about how you use the charisma tool that we talked about.
Yes. I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Fantastic.
No, cause it is one of those things, like when you meet somebody that's very charismatic, you're like, how do they do that?
Yeah.
Because it's so encompassing when you encounter it.
Totally.
So I'm excited to practice.
Yeah.
Good.
And so much of it is, especially when you're an entrepreneur or a coach or something like that, people are more apt to pick you for your charisma and energy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Especially your energy.
It's a good muscle to learn to flex.
Totally.
Well, have a blast at your hip hop rap.
Improv.
Thank
hip-hop,
you.
Hip hop, freestyle, hip hop, improv, rap class. I know it's like confusing to me. I'm like, wait, what is it? How do you say that? Yeah, okay, but I'm gonna learn.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us. It's been so fun.
My pleasure. Great to talk to both of you, and definitely come to New York and visit.
Yes.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. As always, you can find us on our website, The Divine Breadcrumb, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you're hearing, please send us an email, post a review, drop us a line, get in touch. We love hearing from all of you. Thanks again for listening. And Alyssa, thanks for joining us. It was great to meet you finally.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really fun.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.